It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your bullshit history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's anyone who ain't got cash. Poor whites that they call trash. They can't fuck with us once we realize we're all on the same side. They can't split us up and let them prosper off the divide. They can't fuck with us once we realize we're all on the same side. They can't split us up and let them prosper off the divide. Don't fall for the bait and switch. Racism is real but not it. They fuck whoever can't fight back. But now we gotta change all that.
All right, once again, it's the It's Going Down podcast. We have a very special guest on today's show, as always. Today, we have the young person you've probably seen in social media clips going around like crazy that was punched by the neo-Nazi organizer of Identity Europa, Nathan D'Amigo. If you've seen the video, I hate to laugh, but it is kind of funny. Nathan basically scans a crowd that's in the middle of a brawl, finds a female-bodied person, goes up to them, punches them in the face. They fall down. He runs off back into the crowd in his little preppy-ass blue shirt. It's really hard to miss him. We wanted to hear from this person. What happened? Why did they go out there? What did they see? What all went down? It was pretty crazy what they go on to describe. They were almost basically killed. A bunch of Trump people basically took them, tried to slam their head down onto the concrete, into the rocks. Pretty scary stuff. And, you know, it's pretty sobering to hear their analysis, what they said at the end of the day. I mean, we need to continue to get serious. We have to continue to take training seriously. We've got to step up our tactics. We also have to, you know, use this moment to talk with people. There's a lot of people talking about Berkeley. There's a lot of people scared that the neo-Nazis are really kind of coming out of the woodwork at a time when even support for Trump is waning. So this is really a time when we got to do two things. We've got to step up our game, get serious, be organized in the streets, and be able to move together, and also be able to organize with people and actually talk to them about what we're about, our ideas, our strategy, our plan, and our analysis. Okay, can you introduce yourself and talk about why you went out to Berkeley?
All right. I am Louise Roselma. I'm an anarchist with the Oak Roots Collective. And we had a couple of our comrades go out to Berkeley to just be bodies present in the counter protest and show support for the Berkeley Antifa and to just not let Nazis slide with being present in the streets, because that doesn't happen very often in California, I feel like, especially where the Oak Roots Collective is based out of. And we really want to get involved with everything that we can. So.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about your experience. I mean, leading up to the incident, for those that don't know, but most people do, you were in the middle of a situation. Nathan D'Amigo, he's the leader of Identity Europa. It's a neo-Nazi alt-right organization. Punched you, and you were also attacked by other people very quickly. Nathan D'Amigo ran away very fast. But just tell us about your experience during the day, and then, you know, what happened. I mean, you reached out to us and you said, you know, I want to set the record straight, so let's set it straight.
Right. So basically what happened, we got there around like 1 o'clock, and it probably wasn't even half an hour later when a smoke bomb went off, and there was some huge, there's like this still moment of confusion, and the wind was blowing towards the Antifa side. And so people got kind of like blocked. And, that was when the alt-right and neo-Nazis decided to charge, and they just started attacking people. And when that happened, I got separated from my friends, and I was trying to follow my boyfriend, who ran into, he tried running and I followed him, but he suddenly disappeared, which I later found out was because he got ganged up on by 7 different people at once, and just like he disappeared within that mob. And so I just kind of got stuck in this rushed corner. It was this weird like plant in between a planter and a building kind of thing, and I couldn't go anywhere. There was bushes in my way, and I was just looking around for my partner, trying to find him where to go. And there were too many people in between me and any exit, and I was kind of just blocking people and like trying to push them away. And the next thing I knew, I turn around and I see someone coming at me with their fists like pulled back. And looking back at that, I really didn't even understand. I didn't have time to react. Like, I didn't have any emotion other than just having that like crazy instinctual flight mode on. And when I saw that punch, I just went into instinct mode, and I put my guard up to protect myself and to try to kind of like push him off me, because he was literally like, he flung his body into me. He kind of got like the top, he punched me on like the bridge of my nose, which is like, my nose is fine now, but, I did fall over. He ran. I got right back up, but I was having a hard time seeing the whole time because of the smoke, and I had gotten blowback from pepper spray or mace. So I couldn't really see. And then the next thing I knew, which is, according to the video, it pans off and you don't see this. But I got punched twice more and thrown down multiple times by different people who were trying to get me to hit my head on the rocks that were in the planter. And while that happened probably like 3 times. And then the last time, this part just like blows my mind. Like it's like imprinted in my head. I am like trying to get up, and I look up and I make eye contact with this guy who's rushing at me, and he grabs me by my shoulders and my collarbone, and he starts kneeing me in the forehead multiple times, and then he just ran, because I think after that, they all just kind of like dispersed and they ran off. I was caught up in like a little like clot of fist fight. It was crazy. But after that, I was like, oh, okay, I'm on my feet now. And I was looking for my partner and I found him and he was gushing blood all over the place. And of course I just like totally forgot all of my pain. And I was like screaming for a medic, to help my boyfriend. But the medics were amazing and they came up to us multiple times checking on us because, we looked pretty gnarly. So, right. So yeah.
And you were saying they were physically trying to hit your head against the cement?
Yeah. Like one of them, when they were pushing me down, they put their hand on the back of my head and kind of like tossed me down. It was really intentional and it was just really obvious, like, because the rocks were so big there and they were really trying to direct my head at the rock, which I thankfully I missed and I blocked myself from hitting one of them because I kind of like shoulder rolled onto it. Mm-hmm. But I'm honestly pretty lucky I didn't get my skull cracked open by them.
And they were chanting kill Antifa while they were doing this, I heard?
Not then, but at some point in the day they were chanting that. Okay. At least some of them were.
Is there anything you want to dispel? I mean, obviously there's been a lot of stuff written. I mean, there's articles all over about D'Amigo, about the incident. I mean, is there anything you want to say to, like, the media storm that's been going on? Just kind of set the record straight at all, or what are your thoughts?
I think some of the things that I've been seeing that I think need to be dispelled were, first off, the glove. There's a picture going around that's coming from behind me, and it shows, like, my glove, like, my hand kind of, like, at underneath his chin, at his throat, and people are like, oh, she was the one who started the fight. Like, she tried to punch him back and blah, blah, blah. And people were actually saying that the glove was this glove that's illegal in California. And it's not. It's just a fake leather glove. There's nothing special about it. Just kind of more for, like, looks and for protection on my hands, which did come in handy, so I'm thankful. But, yeah, I was completely unarmed. And I was just standing there when it all happened. I was just pushing people away from me and I was looking around trying to find my partner. And I think it's pretty obvious and it's been kind of agreed upon that it really looks like, D'Amigo just picked me out of the crowd and charged me, with full force. But I think one of the other things that has been going around is a screenshot of a post of mine that I made the morning, like, in while we were going up, while we were driving. It's just like a selfie, and in it I say, headed up to Berkeley, gonna try to get 100 Nazi scalps. And people have been like saying, using that as justification of like, oh, she deserved it. She was looking for a fight. She went up there trying hurt people, like, right. Yeah, it's really, really stupid because has, like, no one seen Inglourious Basterds? Like, does no one know Quentin Tarantino? Because I don't understand how that's been being pulled so far out of context.
Right. Well, they can have a whole culture based on sharing gas chamber memes, but you can't make a reference to a good movie.
Yeah, right. It's kind of double standardy there, but it's funny of how pathetic it is that's the only straw they have to grab at, really. Right. You know, like, that's their only justification. They're just trying to demonize me and villainize me and make me the bad guy as much as they possibly can, and it's just petty.
You were saying, like, you're kind of a case study on, like, why you should mask up and just the dangers of doxing. Let's just talk a little bit about that. I mean, it's great that you can kind of laugh about it now, but
yeah,
just all that stuff.
So I mean, it was almost immediate that I was identified. I don't know when my mask came off. I don't remember when that happened, but since my face was caught on camera, I was somehow identified, like, almost immediately, and from probably, like, 3 hours after, from what I saw, I was getting bombardment of harassment and death threats and, just rape threats and all that fun stuff. But it's been pretty crazy the extent to which they have reached into my personal life, and even the parts of my life that are kind of public in some ways, but not really something that I want everybody to see, like the sex work that I've done. They've been kind of using that as a huge, at least they've been trying to use it as like a shame tactic, which is pointless because I'm unashamed of my body and my sexuality and my sex work that I've done. So it's just once again, pathetically grabbing at straws, but the reason that they have been able to find not only my home phone, my cell phone, my emails, all my aliases, like my address, the address and the phone numbers of my mom, my dad, my uncle, my grandmother, is because I wasn't masked up. I didn't have my identity protected. And in cases like this, it is the biggest thing that you have to guard, because they are malicious. They are intent on trying to cause as much psychological harm to you as they can. And for me, I feel like I'm really lucky because I have a huge support system and I have a lot of comrades and friends and family who are totally on my side, who are here to protect me and support me. But I know that this could have happened to someone who doesn't have that, and this could have been a much harder thing for someone else to deal with. And even for me, it's been absolutely exhausting having to explain to my family members what's going on and respond to my friends who are like, oh my God, are you okay? And like just freaking out and just trying to kind of get things settled down and all of my shit locked down. It's been crazy, and that none of this really would have happened if my identity was protected. And that's why people mask up. That's why Antifa masked up, because neo-Nazis are intent on ruining our lives and ruining our families' lives at that too, if not tracking us down and killing us, because apparently lots of people are trying to do that right now. at least they are trying to make me think so, but I always keep, that was actually a topic of discussion, quote unquote discussion, that, kept getting screamed at our faces of Antifa by the neo-Nazis of like, why are you wearing a mask? Why are you wearing a mask, coward? And it's like, well, why does Batman wear a mask? Why does Spider-Man wear a mask? We all know the reason. It's a really stupid question, because there are really, really terrible people who would love to get the identity of Batman and Spider-Man. And it's really the same thing for Antifa.
Right.
And for anybody.
Well, so half of them had masks on too, so.
Yeah, because it's the same thing. It's this double standard of course, we're not allowed to mask up and protect ourselves, but they are, because they're patriots.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing I would say, and you know, it's going down, we'll start publishing some stuff on the event soon, but I mean, you know, their event, the people that organized this went really out of their way to like make sure that everyone thought that no white supremacist, no neo-Nazi, nobody even associated with the alt-right was going to speak, that this was going to be a libertarian, pro-Trump, you know, patriot rally. I mean, it was so clear that it wasn't, but they had to go out of their way to lie about it. And, you know, for us, for the people that, I mean, I wasn't out there, you know, but for the for our side, the people that went out there, I mean, nobody lied about where they were coming from. Nobody lied that it was being organized by anarchists and anti-fascists. We didn't have to do that. And
right.
I don't know.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah. It was crazy. Even people who were there who, I kind of got into it with this one guy who wasn't, he wasn't Antifa. He wasn't black blocked up or anything. I said something near him and he's like, oh, there are no Nazis here. What are you talking about? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Like, that dude just threw a Nazi salute. Are you serious? And he's like, no, dude, there's no Nazis. There's no white supremacists. I'm like, I guarantee you a majority of these people have fucking swastika tattoos underneath their shirts. Guarantee it. Like, it was just like, do you really believe what you read? Like, I'm sure he was probably like alt-right or something and just kind of looked like he was not, but I was just flabbergasted, honestly, that someone actually like believed that. It just kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
But of course they really went out of their way to make this about making it under the guise of free speech, because this is all they have now, is they're spineless meme lords who are just in this meme cult. And this is all they really have, is lying and making it about things that it's really actually not about. It's not about free speech at all. And they're just kind of trying to pull at people's better conscience of like, oh yeah, everybody should have free speech. But yeah. I believe that too. I think everybody should have free speech, but with free speech comes the responsibility of facing the consequences of your words. And they don't want to accept that, but it's coming. So
yeah. And that's what's ironic too, is like, we're not saying we want the government to like shut down their websites and do this or that. We're not saying any of that. We're saying that human beings should organize themselves against authoritarian systems and fascist systems and racist systems, patriarchy and all of that, and defend themselves. And but they're being very explicit that like, look, if we take over, we're going to kill all of you and ship you off and do this. And I mean,
yeah, it's mind-boggling that people, especially liberals, are still saying like, oh, but they still deserve free speech. Like they deserve a platform. You shouldn't try to silence them. It's like, we have to. The lives of our friends and family, our well-being depends on it. And I think that's a privilege to be able to have an opinion like that, because you're so closed off from the absolute suffering of millions of people in this world. It's astonishing to me. And to me, that's the thing to talk about is, well, someone asked me like, oh, do you condemn the, or agree with the violence of Antifa, like pushing an old lady down? And I'm like, well, why is that being focused on? Why is that trash can being lit on fire being focused on? Why is the Starbucks window getting focused on as this big act of violence, when millions of people are being denied health care, millions of people are having their reproductive rights taken away, defunded? We're having thousands of children with lead poisoning in Flint right now, and we have the funds to fix it, but we're not. We're waging war and lining the pockets of capitalists who run this country. And to me, that's the real violence. And this is just the reaction. This is what people are driven to do. We have to do this. Our lives depend upon it. Our well-beings and our comfort, even just trying to live, is not easy for people. And when you get desperate, it's all you have. Like, I love the MLK quote that language is, or violence is the language of the unspoken, or of the unheard. Mm-hmm. I totally messed that up. But the violence that capitalists and that capitalism itself, the system, reinforces needs to be focused on with that violence. Because that's the issue. None of this would be happening if the actual issues and the root of all the evil was being addressed. But it's not. It's being reinforced by people like the alt-right and neo-Nazis, which is why we're in the street.
Right. What would you say to liberals or people on the left? I saw some pictures of people doing like silly things like, I don't know, a listening tent or like some bullshit like that. But I mean, what would you say to people that like went to the tax march and didn't go instead to confront these neo-Nazis and Trump supporters? What would you say to them?
Honestly, I don't really know much about what the intent of the whole tax return thing is. I mean, I do think that all spokes of the tactical wheel are required for the wheel to turn. So if people feel like going and marching in more safe environments, kind of pressuring administration is more where they're useful, then go for it. I know that there's that what I did yesterday, going to a neo-Nazi rally, being on the front lines like that is not an option for some people. There are undocumented immigrants here. There are single mothers. There are people who have family that they have to take care of that they can't risk getting locked up. They can't risk getting hurt. And so doing something like a tax rally or whatever, I can't say that I don't agree with pressuring the president to be transparent and to actually be truthful about all the shit that he's been lying about his entire presidency. But yeah, good for them for doing something.
Okay, fair enough. I don't know if I'd be so nice. But, you said when we started that you wanted to remind people that really this struggle is about class struggle and anti-capitalism. Why is that? Why is that important?
Right. Yeah, because this country was founded on slavery and capitalism, and it's just changed its face. And it's in every person's interest to recognize the part that they play in the system, because capitalism is the root of all of our problems in this world, with people who are owning massive mansions, one person, but then there are hundreds of millions of people in this world who are going hungry, who are on the street, homeless, when one person is able to own a 500 bedroom building privately, and they're allowed to guard that and they have a right to that. Property in that aspect is theft when it's taking away from the lives of other people and their right to live. People have the right to live and to exist. And if there is a 1% of people of this population stealing all the wealth, then people are going to suffer. I mean, capitalism is not crony. It's not being ill-practiced. It's working exactly how it's supposed to. It's working for the 1%, for the owners. And people need to stop working and bowing down to the owners and defending them. And that's exactly what the alt-right is. That's exactly what the police force is. That's what neo-Nazis are. They are just these social pillars that have been established to support capitalism, because capitalism is held up by white supremacy. It's held up by the slavery of people of color. It's held up by stealing people's land and wiping out their culture, wiping out their people, and making people docile to the fact that they have the right to liberty.
You brought up before just the need to be prepared for what is coming. Can you talk more to that? What would it mean to be prepared, and how do you think people should get prepared based on your experience?
Honestly, I think the biggest thing to do is to learn self-defense, whether that be hand-to-hand combat. I guess it's whatever a person is most comfortable with, because everybody's different and they might be better at one thing than another. But being armed is vital right now. And I think it should be in the best interest of the left to be armed. And not only that, but to learn military tactics for the street when we're out there under the threat of neo-Nazis who are literally wearing like gladiator helmets and shields and have full on like riot gear on, basically. And they're the ones who are provoking this violence, and they're the ones who are really trying to wipe us out and kill us. You have to defend yourself, and you have to learn how to do that. And I paid the ultimate price in that regard, I learned my lesson. I don't belong on the front lines because of how ill-prepared I am right now. I don't know how to defend myself, and I'm just not useful in that way. Like, that's kind of why I've been reaching out and trying to tell my story, because I have a lot more to say, and I feel like I am able to speak more well than I'm able to fight. But I think it's absolutely vital for the class struggle to be armed and to be ready for the fight that's coming, because they are ready. They are armed. They have their guns en masse, and they know how to use them, and they're ready to fight for their fascist government and for all the bullshit that they believe in. And they're not going to be nice. They're not going to kill us nicely and softly. It's in our best interest to be as prepared as we can.
Anything else you want to say? Any way that people can support you?
Honestly, I think the best thing to do is just stick to the ideals of anti-capitalism and support your local Antifa in any way that you can, whether that be trying to change people's mind about it or going on online and reporting any personal information that you see about me that's being posted around, or even just kind of going at it with them. Whatever people feel that they can do is appreciated.
Okay, thanks a lot for joining us, and you know, everybody's really rooting for you, and we're glad that you can tell your story. And anything you want to say? Yep. Any shout outs?
Honestly, I'd like to give a shout out to the Oak Roots Collective. They are such a tight, awesome group that have been giving me endless support and bringing me lunch and checking up on me. There's so many comrades that I could thank right now. I am endlessly grateful for the people who I know have my back, and they know who they are.
Awesome. Well, yeah, let's continue to keep that in mind as we go forward, because, you know, this isn't over. You know, this is just one part of it. And thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for talking to me.
Yeah, totally. Let's do it again.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right. Thank you for sticking around to the very, very end. Thank you for everybody that's been hitting up the website. We've gotten a ton of hits. I mean, one thing about the world basically falling apart is that there's more people that want to know about the people that are actually fighting for a world that might be actually livable for regular working poor people that are really stuck in the middle of all this fucking shit falling apart, whether it's climate change, whether it's the economy, whether it's the Democrats, the Republicans, the fascists. It does not matter. People are coming together. People are creating an alternative, and they're turning to sites like It's Going Down as a place to find out what exactly everyday people are doing in their communities, in their workplaces, where they live, in the environment around them, how they're getting organized, how they're fighting back. You can find all that at It's Going Down. Check us out on social media platforms like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And hey, if you got a couple extra bucks, please help us out. In the next couple weeks, we will be switching to Patreon, so we hope that's a more sustainable way to grow our project, and we are growing. And hey, thanks a lot for the person that came on to share their story. It wasn't easy to do that. It took a lot of fucking guts to come up and say, hey, look, something happened. It was shitty. And hopefully you can learn something from it. So hopefully you did. Hopefully you took away something like that. And you know, stuff like that is scary. And it's hard to take in sometimes. But hey, as a movement, we grow. We understand what's going on. We learn from things that are happening. And we continue forward. And that's why It's Going Down is around. And we'll continue to do that. We hope to see you next time. Thanks a lot.